A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on April 16, 1989, entitled, Living a Doxology. The scripture readings are Job 19, verses 21 through 27, and 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. The texts for the sermon are Job 19, verses 25 and 26, and 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
It's a serious business, my friends. We would do to Jesus what the world did to Jesus. And we would be a part of it. We should shudder before that reality. And yet I'm afraid it's true. And I want us to be confronted with that, because otherwise it's like we do our duty by going through the darkness of Holy Week and Good Friday and then get all light and frothy on Easter, as though we can move out of the one and into the other, leaving the other behind us. And that is superficial. That is untrue to the gospel. That is not honest with our calling to be the people of God. I want us to hear the marvelous doxology of Peter this morning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose great mercy we have been born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All praise to God, fountain of praise welling up within the heart of Peter and the early church, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because on Easter morning everything was changed. Easter is the hinge on which it all hangs. Easter, the transforming moment. But I want us to see that doxology, that sense of irrepressible praise, wells up within the people of God in the midst of this old world where they are still confronted with the darkness, still tasting the pain, still called to resist the powers of domination. I want us to see that it is while we are conflicted and called sometimes to bear a cost that we at the same time say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not to move out of the one into the other. It is to exist in the one with a grand sense of the other. It is to be able to praise God in the darkness. That's the uniqueness of Christian existence. Sometimes we think the cross is good news. We have made it into a central Christian symbol. But you know, there's no good news at the cross. There's no good news at crucifixion. Good Friday. Good Friday is the world's ultimate no to God. And if it all ended at Good Friday, it would be the most abysmal darkness. And one would be justified in being totally pessimistic about the world, about history, about the future, about human existence. If all we had was the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus and the example of Jesus and the crucifixion of Jesus, if that's all we had, brothers and sisters, the message would be dismal beyond description. Because on the cross, goodness suffered. On the cross, love sacrificed. On the cross, righteousness was put to death. On the cross, justice was killed. On the cross, the very worst that the world could conjure up came to expression. There's no good news at the cross. And if the cross was the last word, well, the sooner it was over, the better. Because the cross tells us that there is no hope for humanity lying within human potential. There is no hope in human planning, in human structuring, in human ideology. There is nothing human that will ever transform the landscape to be able to move us out of the dark shadows of a Good Friday world. It is only Easter. It is only the fact that God reversed the human no, that after our final no, there was yet a yes that sounded, that we have any hope. In the doxology of Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose great mercy we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The doxology is the consequence of the fact that in this old world that put Jesus to death, God raised Jesus to life. And in that sign, we have hope. It is a living hope. The conception of Peter is very much like that of Paul that we looked at 2 weeks ago in 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection, and then the reign of Jesus, an interim period in which Jesus brings into submission all contrary powers, and then finally, the consummate kingdom. Peter says that we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, which is kept in heaven for us. It is that certain, it is that sure, it is a present reality for us, being kept for us, who are being kept by the power of God, ready for a salvation to come to its fullness, to its full expression. So we live between Easter and the resurrection of Jesus and the consummate form of the kingdom and the full experience of redemption. And in the meantime, we are an Easter people who live with a doxology that sounds forth in the darkness. The thing that I am really concerned to underscore is that the doxology and the darkness coexist. I think that one of the reasons I am trying to say this over and over again is the fact that I sense in our culture today so many substitutes for the gospel. There is much that one could say in a positive way about the New Age. It's a kind of amorphous phenomena in our world, which is kind of a network of people who are concerned for the right things, concerned about spiritual reality, about the transformation of consciousness, about a new age. But when I read this material, I see how how superficial much of it is, and that finally it rests on an optimistic view of human personality and of human potential. And I want to say that the uniqueness of Christian understanding is that it finds no human potential, but by the grace of God creates a new reality. If it is a matter of brainwashing ourselves, of looking in the mirror each morning, staring in the mirror and saying to ourselves, you are beautiful, you are beautiful, you are wonderful, you are wonderful, you can conquer the world, you can conquer the world. Well, we are of all people most miserable, because that won't wash finally. But to be able to live with one's life a fountain of doxology, at the same time refusing to deny the darkness, that is Christian existence. To recognize that the world hasn't changed very much. And there will be those times when we as the people of God are called to stand up and to be counted, to stand against structures of oppression and of domination, whether they be ideological of any sort, or economic, or military, or whatever in our world cuts against the grain of the gospel, is that against which the people of God are called to stand. We may not be co-opted by political philosophy. We must not be co-opted by economic opportunity. We must not be taken in to the world's mold. We're different. We're Easter people. We live shaped by a particular story of Jesus crucified and risen. And we know that in our existence too, there will be crucifixion and resurrection, because we will follow Jesus. But that doxology is the nevertheless in the face of all that is contrary to our Christian existence. And it'll be costly, and it'll bring us into conflict. But we'll be able to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right in the face of the darkness. Because we know that God raised him from the dead. So God said, love is stronger than hate, and right is stronger than wrong, and life is stronger than death. We are an Easter people who are not dependent upon our own wits, our own resources, or any human potential, but who rest in the mercy of God, by whose mercy we've been born anew by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, in some respects, nothing's changed. Last weekend I was with the editors of Perspectives, the editor of whom is Jim Van Hovengoord's brother. And Jim had just been in Latin America, South America for a month. And we were talking about some of the things that are happening in the world at large, and the seeming thaw of the Cold War, and some of the loosening up of some of the oppressive structures, and some of the signs of hope. I spoke of them as signs of resurrection. And Jim said, you know, having just been where I've been, it seems like I am more impacted than ever before with the injustice and the suffering of people. So they're both true. There are some signs of resurrection. And then there's that damnable darkness that continues to manifest itself. That's our world. It doesn't surprise us. That's the real world. But we live with doxology in the face of it because God finally, ultimately, has said yes to this world and raised Jesus from the dead. But we don't have to go on the broad canvas of international affairs. What about our own personal Christian existence? Sin. Failure. Well, if Christ be not raised, says Paul, then we are yet in our sins. But beloved, Christ is now risen from the dead, and therefore we are forgiven. What about those we've loved and lost a while? If Christ be not raised, says Paul, then those who have fallen asleep are lost. But now is Christ risen, so those who have fallen asleep have fallen asleep in Jesus. And so we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. Maybe for you, it's been a brick wall and darkness. No way out. Well, don't give up. Let the doxology arise, nevertheless, because as Easter people, we are undefeatable, uncrushable, invulnerable in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose mercy we've been born again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God unto a salvation ready to be revealed. What can we say? But all praise to God, through whom we have the victory, even in the dark.